suddenly became brighter. Hi everybody, welcome to big yawn there. Well, hi everybody, welcome to Hi everybody, welcome to another Woke Celebrant podcast. And today we're going to talk about something a bit more timely, which is we're going to talk about the whole thing that happened with FTX and then also our feelings about it. We'll touch on not just the crash with FTX, what we feel about what happened with crypto recently. We also talk about things like content creators, because there are a lot of content creators that actually plug FTX and also plug associated things like BlockFi, for example, and then those eventually also either became insolvent or has liquidity issues or things like that. So we'll be talking about like whether content creators, you should trust content creators such as ourselves, you know, with financial stuff, and how much does due diligence come into play when it comes to these things. So maybe what we can do is we describe what happened with the FTX thing first. Can you describe what happened?
Sure. So I think in the past month, actually not past month, in the past week, but I don't know when
it's this so will come. It's so fast, yeah.
Basically, the second largest crypto exchange collapsed because there was kind of like a bank run on it. A bank run is when suddenly everyone withdraws their deposits at the same time, causing liquidity issues.
Meaning they got not enough money stored to give you the money that you want to withdraw.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So a lot of people put their money on this thing. Then everybody want to take out at the same time.
Yeah.
And then because everyone want to take out, and then they obviously take the money and do other things with it on the back. They say, whoa, hang on. We got to go and find ways to get this money for you. We can't pay all of it.
I think at the same time, there are also many reports on the founder, SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Not sale of balance flat.
No, not sale of balance flat.
Yeah.
I mean, they accuse him of like mismanaging the funds, of not ring fencing the FTX funds with its sister company,
Alameda Research.
Yeah, how do you say it again?
Alameda Research.
Alameda Research.
Alameda.
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 Whatever. Yeah, that
Singaporean
one.
Pronunciation.
Yeah. Alameda Research.
Yeah, Alameda Research.
So anyway, people who put their money in FTX, like GG.
GG.
Yeah, it's
and it's not even like I might be playing very risky things, you know, like shit coins and stuff. It could be I buy what is apparently the blue chip, like I buy ETH and I buy Bitcoin, like Bitcoin, and I put on there.
Yeah.
And if I had done that, then what happened to me now?
You cannot withdraw.
I just can't get it.
Yeah, I just can't get it.
Wow. Damn jialat.
Yeah. It's blue chip for the crypto world.
For the crypto, exactly.
But in the traditional finance world, it is damn risky.
This whole world is risky anyway,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have any exposure to FTX?
No. I put most of my money, crypto money, in Gemini. Not an endorsement of Gemini, by the way.
We put in Binance at one point because it was here.
Yeah.
Then cannot put anymore. And then we just moved it to Gemini.
Yeah.
We are not endorsing the thing, right?
Exactly.
It's just one of these things that we chose, right?
We use, but it's not an endorsement.
Yeah.
And
So it's still in Gemini for you?
No, actually, I withdraw the stuff in Gemini and put it in the cold wallet. A cold wallet is a little.
You have a thing.
It's a little device that you can put your crypto on.
Hmm. So you have that.
Yeah, I have that.
I'm thinking of getting it. Should I?
Yeah.
I just put in Gemini and I don't touch it. But like,
then you have to pray
it's
Gemini.
A small amount.
Doesn't collapse.
Right.
Yeah. But let's say you have like, of maybe $200 in Gemini, then you want to buy the cold wallet. Maybe not worth it. But let's
how
say
much is a cold wallet?
Like, I think at least like 150 USD. So around, around 200, 300.
Right.
Got more.
But if you have a lot of money, then you should just put it.
Yeah. Oh, although there's also the risk of losing your cold wallet. Which some
physically,
people...
Physically, right?
Yeah,
I just do, lose the
some tempo. People are just dumb that way.
right.
Yeah. Not dumb, not careless.
Careless, yeah. And he say that meaning he also is one of these people a lot. Because he does lose things, right?
Yeah,
so
I
you're
do,
not
I
attacking
do.
People.
Yes.
You're sort of describing yourself.
Don't comment on that.
Yeah. So maybe we address it on a sort of a general finance situation level.
Yeah.
Like, do you have any thoughts on this whole issue and this whole situation?
I think earlier this month, we published a post about cryptocurrencies, right? And how they are very, very risky. It's really strange because 1 week after the post came out, this FTX thing happened.
Yeah, it's not like we timed it. We had no idea. So it's not like we were researching or whatever.
It was almost as if to like prove our point. Yeah, but I think aside to that, when it comes to cryptocurrencies, I think like for us covering it is always quite tricky, mostly because there are people out there who feel like if you cover something, it means you are endorsing
cover
it.
As in I talk about it.
Yeah, you talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think for our page, we didn't take any sponsors. when it came to crypto last year. Like none at all. But on my end, I did invest in crypto, and I did say, you know, I bought this certain amount of coins. But when I did so, I always added in with like the disclaimer, the
caveat,
like,
yeah.
But this might go to zero
in
1 year's time or 5 years' time.
Yeah.
And I think recently I was looking back at like our IG story archives to see whether like was there any...
Did we say anything?
Yeah, right. Did we say anything like...
Too enthusiastically about crypto that like, overextended our actual stance.
Yeah, and buy this and go to the moon. I don't think we ever said something like that.
Never, yeah.
Yeah, but... I have
we made
said,
fun
like,
of it. Like, yeah. I got referenced like the moon in the drawings and stuff, and then I put a dosh like, on a rocket going to the moon sometimes in a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that is by no means an endorsement. I think quite clear the sarcasm comes across.
But I think some people I mean have DM'd me privately, like on our account, like, that because I mentioned some coins, they bought into those coins. And
they, hey, how can you?
Yeah, they feel like I was shilling these coins. Yeah. So how I feel about it is that saying that you buy a coin is not shilling. Shilling is something like, oh, this will confirm go to the moon.
Yeah.
Right. So let me do like my shilling stuff. Okay, you know, you guys must
shilling
all,
mode, shilling. Don't shilling anyhow mode, go and
all get into Terra Luna, you know. Right now the price is $36, but I foresee at the end of the year it will be $100 or even $200. So you get to 3x, 4x or even 10x your investment.
Use our affiliate link down below and get $250 free value when you sign up for the thing.
If not, right, then you have fun staying poor. So
that
I think
is top level shield.
Yeah, so I think that
shield TTM, like shield to the max, right?
Yeah. So I think that's shilling.
Yeah.
I think what we did was more like, okay, so I've been experimenting in the crypto space recently.
Yeah.
I saw this coin called Terra Luna. I allocate 5% of my investments in it. Who knows, it might be a lot in the future, might also be zero. So I don't think that is shilling. But maybe some people...
I think got different levels of shield. So I never talked about my crypto exposure at all. So I think I'm in the... Like, I think got multiple levels.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I also don't think what you did was that bad. Because every time you mentioned it, you come out with a caveat of... But I mean, this is just my idea. I don't recommend you all have exposure. And we consistently say this thing. No more than 5% of your total net worth in crypto. Consistently. If you see the first thing we ever wrote about crypto... It has been that stance since time immemorial for us. And that may change, but it hasn't changed yet. Right? So I don't think... So there's different levels. Like I said the point about affiliate link down below. I think that's even another level because like you are saying, I have a thing where I profit from pushing this thing from your direct interaction with it. Then of course you can say you are shilling because you are in it and more people coming into it means good for you. But I think you're off the hook if you always say that. Look, I'm not pushing this on you. You ask me, I tell you. I'm telling you what I do because part of we sharing is that, you know, we tell people and we're not perfect people. We make mistakes. Even Warren Buffett made mistakes. Right?
But I think also it goes to show that last year you really cannot tell.
Yeah.
I think no one really knows like what the future of crypto is or even the financial markets are.
Yeah.
I remember I invested in the coin and in crypto was that in case that I am wrong, right?
It's a hedging.
Yeah, hedging
your actual base thought that actually crypto might not be such a
So my base thought is I'm not sure about crypto.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people.
Then why you never tell people?
There were a lot of smart people getting into it. What?
Then why you never tell people that my base thought about crypto is actually I'm suspicious about it.
Why? I mean, which is why our first article say 5% crypto.
Right. We put that into that, but you never expressly, as Rui Ming say, I actually think this is stupid one, or I don't believe in this. But I understand what you mean also because you see like Mark Cuban, or like fucking Kevin O'Leary also talk about crypto.
Okay, so first of all, right?
Yeah.
I think if we want to say like, oh fuck, I think crypto is stupid. Then I think like that is just straight up dismissing crypto.
I know. I'm not saying that you are thinking like that. I'm just giving you the opportunity to answer. You know, if people ask this.
Okay, but what we did was that we put down in the first article we did about crypto. Like why we doubt it. Like I think there's government regulation. There's high energy costs. You know, some of the coins we talked about in start of 2021, they might not be around anymore. And
And that has become
voila,
true.
Yes. It became true, which is why we put only 5% in crypto.
Yeah.
So that was my thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe there's something I'm not seeing. And there were so many smart people talking about
it. Yeah, exactly.
Even like Naval
Ravikant, yeah.
which is a person
we look up to.
Yeah, right? We look up to. Yeah. I think even he talked about crypto. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, maybe we can see how this goes.
Yeah, because you might be wrong, and if you are going to be wrong, you want to hedge a bit of that.
Yeah, so I put 5%. So we kind of made the bet on this round of crypto.
Mm.
It didn't work.
Mm.
Okay, you know, yeah. that's just how investing is in my mind.
Yeah, I also asked you that because I think the point that you made about like you see other people who you look up to talking about it, and it can make you question like,
yep.
Wait a minute, maybe I'm wrong about it. My gut feeling might be off because I also don't know everything, right?
Mm.
And of course, it's such a new and complex thing technically to understand. So it's like a hedging exercise for you, like, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you cannot just look at the absolute number that you invested. You have to look at the percentage of his net worth that he invested. That's the actual important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember like, there were many times I thought like, really? Yeah? Like, for example, this crypto like thing like,
yeah.
No, this crypto protocol like Anchor protocol giving 20% a year.
Yeah,
that's like then I was like, huh, why not I put more money? When I put more of my percentage in it? So let's say I have 100,000, right?
Yeah,
then I could earn 20,000 free every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I do that?
Mm.
So at times I was very very tempted to increase my allocation.
Did you ever?
From 5% to
more than
5%.
Yeah.
I never increased it, but when crypto grew, right, my portfolio doubled.
Mm.
So at times my crypto portfolio exceeded the 5% allocation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't withdraw it because there was this thing called staking.
Mm.
And in staking you lock up your coins for 28 days.
Mm.
I mean at least in the coin I was involved in, which is Terra Luna, right?
Mm.
And it's not something that you can withdraw easily because you have to unstake it and then the price will go down again.
Mm.
So I decided to just leave it there. Towards the end of last year, after I kind of had more money, I thought of increasing allocation to 10%. Yeah, but I think before that happened, the market crashed.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, even I do not know when things will happen.
Because, I mean, we talked about Luna and then I was never in Luna.
Mm.
But I also, honestly, like you watch some videos and you know the buzzwords already. You know how to say the protocol does this and then the staking thing and that. And then it sounds almost like you watch like an hour long podcast. You can understand the thing.
Yeah.
But we don't actually know, like we don't know on the freaking code level or even on the blockchain level, like actually how the money transfers. I have no fucking idea. That's why I don't go too much into it also. But I also feel like I think about this in terms of investing also, like we say like there's a decision paralysis sometimes that comes because you feel like I don't know enough to start investing.
Yeah.
Then it's like then in this case like a lot of people were jumping in, I think, like not knowing anything at all, just because they know some words about it and they understood sort of principally what it meant. Doesn't mean that the company is doing that also, because they can just lie, which is what SBF did.
Yeah.
Or they can like say one thing, then on the code level, they actually don't understand the CEO what it's doing.
Mm.
And I also don't know how to go into the code level. I don't have access to the code level.
Mm.
I don't know how to go and track funds on wallets and stuff like that. So
That
was the decision paralysis that led me to not put my stuff into, I think, riskier. I mean, I put in Bitcoin and Ethereum only, like, but riskier stuff like Luna and stuff, you know, I didn't put as a result of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, you can actually examine the code.
It's open source that you can go and look at, is it?
You can look at.
But whether you can understand also, you need to be a very technically proficient guy.
It takes some time to go and like, oh, okay, so actually this wallet belongs to this person, they transferred this much to this person.
Or the transfer I saw, I understand.
Yeah.
But can you see the code or the back end one? Will they preview you to such things?
That one I don't think so.
Yeah, because if you can see also, I don't think you will go and see,
like,
right?
Okay, like this, okay, like, I look at the code, like, okay, this doesn't add value to my life.
Yeah, it's like going in the bank, you examine the bank vault. Like, I also don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know whether the laser tripwire is good or the freaking lock is a high-end one. I also don't know, right?
So what scares me, right?
Yeah.
about this whole crypto, my whole crypto journey,
yeah,
is that, so what if crypto didn't crash?
How much will you be
this year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say crypto continued for five more years,
yeah.
6 more years, 10 more years. Yeah. I'm not sure whether I would have been able to stick with 5% allocation,
yeah, yeah,
because it has already shown to, I mean, whenever that something has been around for more than 5 years, I feel like it's already shown like a certain level of durability.
Mm.
But apparently, this is not always the case, lah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole crypto thing scares me because, like, I'm just thinking, like, wow, what if, you know,
Or you just went in earlier. If you had went in early on Bitcoin, for example, then it like 10x its value.
Yeah.
Would you able have been to resist, you know, putting more and more inside? Because in all your adult life, you know, Bitcoin has done so well for you.
That was a part of an LKY quote. In all my adult life.
Or the merger of
merger. Okay, sorry.
You see, the whole of my adult life, I had believed in Malaysian merger.
Okay.
I don't mean to quote like,
yeah. Okay, so I think definitely your investing experience plays a huge part in what you will do.
Yeah.
Your life experience will guide a lot of your decisions. And I feel like for those people who got into crypto early, it is very easy to believe like this thing will keep going up and up and up. Because the only thing they experience, right?
Yeah, yeah. You have no historical perspective.
And I'm sure there will be people who invested in Bitcoin in 2000 and let's say 10, right?
Yeah.
And they still believe it will go up.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong, but I'm just describing like what their current, I mean, what their mindset,
that's their worldview,
be.
Like, yeah. That's because that's their reality since they, for most of their lives, this was the case, right?
Yeah, right. And I think it's important to kind of like look not just at your own life experience, but also like
other people,
data and conventional advice, right? I think last year we kind of advocated for a very conventional way of investing.
Sometimes at cost also, because I remember the people that would text us and say, "Ah, you're slow. You're thinking like boomers, yeah, have fun staying poor, you're not going to make it," all this stuff, you know. So it was not easy to sort of hold this conservative position also, right?
Yeah. I remember on one occasion, we wrote a sponsor post about bonds.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then after that, someone, I'm not sure what the comment or something, someone DM us saying like, why would I put my money into bonds, you know, when I can put my money in a great investment like Cardano.
Right, right, right. But Cardano's still around, right?
Back then, Cardano $3. Now, I think it's...
Please hold on for a moment while Raymond checks the value of Cardano.
50 cents.
50 cents. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
This poor fella must not be doing well now. If he put all his money into it.
Yes.
Let's say, divide by 6.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there was really a lot of pressure to kind of talk about crypto. But I'm glad we were conservative when it came to not just asset allocation for us.
What we publish.
Yeah, but also what we publish.
Yeah, I think that's the... What I do in my own account, I think I have the right to have some ideas that might not be right. But what we publish, we are way more like conservative. And I think if you look at our past stuff, you will not be able to find anything that will make us not be able to sleep at night in lieu of what happened with FTX.
Okay, so speaking of doing things that allow you to sleep at night, what do you think of like influencers who accept sponsorship for crypto?
So when you say influencers, I also assume you mean content creators specifically, right? So because influencers, the thing with influencers, especially in the finance space, is that a lot of time influencer, you would think they are not professing knowledge. They are not saying, "I know about this." So they're different from, say, I'm just going to say a name. Graham Stephan, Meet Kevin.
Andre Jig,
And this other Jeremy fella, you know, or Chicken Genius, you know, all this stuff. And so that has made me think a lot.
Yeah.
Like, back to our point about, I look at Mark Cuban talking about, I look at Kevin O'Leary, who also was into this, like, this FTX thing. And I go like, does anybody actually know anything about anything? What is knowledge? Like, what is truth? Who truly knows it all? Because I also remember a time you think about, okay, Warren Buffett, like, his stock, his stock in terms of his reputation in the marketplace also goes up and down, I think. And he don't give a fuck, which is great because he has that.
I mean, he's Warren Buffett.
He's Warren Buffett, right?
Yep.
There are also times where he goes, he's an old man, he don't understand, his time is over. Then it will go up and down, up and down, up and down. So it's very hard to profess knowledge and be a content creator sometimes in this space, because does it mean you can't ever be wrong? And also we have to, I think, acknowledge that. So maybe I just talk about the YouTubers first,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Being that this is something is going on YouTube, what we're doing now.
And also Spotify.
I have benefited a lot from a lot of these creators, like Graham Stephan especially, like a lot of his early stuff. Recently, I don't like his content, honestly, because I think the clickbait just get out of control. It's not even about crypto or what. I just hate the clickbait. He'll say like the Fed has collapsed the market or whatever. Then you watch the thing, right? The end is like, oh, but actually it's not happening. Then why the fuck you put the title as that in caps without a question mark in the end? You're not even asking or positing a question.
It's a statement, right?
It's a statement that you watch, then you go, eh, actually it's not. It's like these people saying, oh, Meta collapsed. Meta just collapsed. Then it's the thumbnail Zuckerberg crying. Then the thing going down. Then you watch the thing to the end, and if it's a nuanced video, it'll go, well, actually the share price is not indicative of everything. They still have some liquidity flow, whatever shit, you know. Then it's like, what the fuck? Then you put the title, is that for fucks, yeah? Mm. Right? And as a content creator ourselves, I look at that and I go, wow, I don't think that's fair, because that's not what we do. We don't clickbait to that level. There's always some level of clickbait.
To Graham Stephan's level.
Where you are making a statement that you are blatantly not saying at the end of the thing. Mm. And we talk about it all the time. Like when we write our articles and our comics, the thing that usually we talk about the most is the headline, because the headline is what we are also sort of promising you to deliver on, you know. And if that's not reflective, then that's not a good experience. So for the way I see it is that they have been dipping into this clickbait pot for the longest time and taking stuff that we cannot take, and I'm jealous because they get so many more views off of that. And we have never done that, so in a way I'm also a bit gratified, like. It's a bit like it's very spiteful of me to think this, and I'm not proud that I go there, but I'm a bit happy that some of these people have these things happen to them. But also I still have to be, I think, objective and goal that actually you also have to do due diligence as a consumer, right?
Yeah.
I think the thing with Graham Stephan there is the level of shill that people perceive that they did, because they have affiliate links for it.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Definitely, content creators have a responsibility to decide what kind of things they promote. I think in the early days, we had one sponsor.
You want to say your name?
I've got a name.
For what? Crypto?
Yeah, crypto.
Hold Not, is it?
No.
Another one. I remember that's the one that we did the thing for, and then they
I think we were in talks very early days to kind of like to create a sponsored content for a crypto brokerage.
Right, so this was very, very, very...
In 2019, maybe.
And then our the content piece was actually what is we have published, which was the one that you should not have more than 5% crypto.
Yeah.
So somehow we managed to, Ring managed to tell them, let us put this message out. Even though it's sort of like saying there's a crypto brokerage.
Yeah.
The stance that we are putting in the headline was, don't put more than 5%. Yes. That was the one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what happened to the client?
What happened is that first of all, it was a very tough angle to sell the client.
Yeah.
Then we...
We fought for it.
We fought for very long.
Yeah.
And I think like... After an extended period of time, maybe 6 or 7 months after debating, the company shut down.
Yeah. Not our company, but the brokerage company.
Yeah, the brokerage company.
Yeah, in fact, the article was so old that like when we revisited it again, I forgot that I had even drawn it, and my style had evolved from that point already. It was so old. Like the font is the old font.
Yeah.
You know, because we had two different fonts, you know.
Yeah.
So it was the old, it was so old that the deliberation was so extensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the company shut down.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking like, oh shit, this can actually happen.
Yeah.
Let's
so we
not
got
do,
that shock. Yeah, yeah.
Let's not do anymore, because like, what if our audience put money in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Then after that, like, it collapsed. They cannot do anything.
Yeah.
Or that, so I think that really woke us up to the realities of advertising or doing sponsored content in the crypto space.
Yeah.
And I think like since 2019
we have been freaking careful, right?
Yeah,
about
exactly.
Who we take on.
Yeah.
We reject so many things. We turn down so much money on the table.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. I mean, I'm not trying to do this to profess like we are very noble or what. It's also the fear of reputational loss when something like this happens. And we were not like we are not omniscient also. Like, we thought about these things and then we discussed it. We considered the amount of money that we could make and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's a long term play, lah.
Right? I mean, of course, if like the brokerage didn't shut down,
yeah,
who would have known like what our thoughts about the crypto space were? Right.
Yep.
Maybe we think they'll be around for a long time.
But then in that case, you're changing reality already.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is changing the information that we have to work with already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think even for sponsors, right, I think sometimes we take on sponsors that have many messages. Right. So in their own capacity, they have many messages. But we only take on like one of their messages.
Yeah, right. One wedge of the whole pie.
They might want to say, because that is something we agree with.
Yeah.
So for example, let's say we work with insurance companies.
Yeah.
Insurance companies sell ILPs, investment linked policies,
which we
dislike.
Yeah.
That they sell endowment plans, which is okay. Okay plan. Term plan, integrated shield plan.
Life, yeah.
So these are all okay.
Yeah.
But then we don't talk about ILP because it's not something that we endorse.
Yeah.
I think this even extends to the government.
Yeah.
Right. I think if the government asks us to talk about why a progressive wage model is better than a minimum wage system, we'll probably say no. But if the government wants us to talk about what are the pros and cons of the progressive wage model versus the minimum wage system, I think that is a content piece that we might take up, because it's a lot more fair in, you know, saying like the pros and cons of each and not being like one-sided.
Yeah, so you have to read what the content creator says about the product. It's not just immediate affiliation and, oh, fuck you, you know, you're a piece of shit, you know, you let us all down this thing, you know,
yeah.
Pipe Piper, you know. But I also think like what you said, so we are taking quite a centrist approach. I'm sorry we're annoying this way and we can't have a one-off thing for you to take away, like, but I also think like content creators have a responsibility, and you are judged for, and you'll be judged by your peers as well for the kind of things that you take on. Not saying that everyone that promoted FTX is this or that. It's more nuanced than that, but it's a risk that you take on. But also, I personally was very gratified when it happened, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I also actually, honestly, I didn't like Sam Bankman-Fried's portrayal. I'm not saying I know these things. I'm a good reader of people. I'm not at all. I get things wrong all the time. But I have never liked this image of being this humble person and that wants to give all his money away. I think what was going on there was that he has a savior complex and his virtue signaling. He wants to be known and he flexes his generosity. But the way that it came across was very weird to me. And I'm not like whacking Nas Daily also in this instance, but I really didn't like that thing.
Because Nas Daily did a video about him.
The portrayal was so casual and so like general, and necessarily so, because Nas' audience is looking for that kind of thing, and that is sort of what Nas does, and there's a lot of good things that he does with that format. But I think what in that space, in the finance space, when things are still brewing, right, there's not enough hindsight to make these kind of calls, to make videos that are that blatantly positive. In terms of the vibe and everything, without due, due disclaimer-ness, which will ruin the 1 minute for me anyway.
Yeah.
He did that with XE also. He did a very glowing thing about XE, but there's no update that. Maybe he's not obliged to. And Nas, I don't think, took money from that. Like, use the link down below, you know? So it's a different level of, I wouldn't say shill, it's a different level of promotion that did not have due diligence. You know, but also even freaking Forbes put him on the cover.
Yeah.
Along with Elizabeth Taylor, or whatever her name was, the Theranos lady. Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah, Elizabeth Holmes.
So it's like, who really knows anything about anything? Then in that case, should you all even trust us? Or I think like the answer should be you make your own calls based on what you feel, and then you should judge the platform by their actions, not just what they say, but what they do. And sometimes the actions is the choice of the sponsorship thing that you take on, because you still need to make money, right?
I think two things I want to add on. I think last year, it was also very difficult to kind of come out and say shit on these people with absolute knowledge.
That's why we never say.
Which is why we just chose to not say much.
Especially on the platform, lah. Privately, we got talk, lah. Then we say, look at this. But I mean, we're not gonna. We also might be wrong, right?
Yeah. So I mean, for people wondering like, oh, how come you never come out and like shit on all these people?
Because we don't know.
Yeah, because we honestly very unclear.
Yeah.
We can only say uncertain, put
5%,
because we don't know where this is heading.
Yeah.
Who in maybe some alternate universe, crypto continue is big run today.
Yeah.
And then we are idiots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difficulty that other content creators face.
Yeah.
They also do not know exactly where the future is headed with something as unpredictable as crypto.
Yeah.
So I think for them, plugging FTX or plugging crypto in general or shilling stuff is like an investment. I mean, it's basically them placing a bet on crypto. La. And the thing is with these things, like sometimes they don't work out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't exactly dislike them for it.
Yeah.
I just recognize them as, okay, these are people with different risk appetite.
Right.
And they have chosen it to do this way.
Mm.
It might mean that some of our more some of the more conservative audience will not follow them. The risky bros will follow them.
Yeah.
That's fine, you know. There's a huge bunch of audience online.
Yeah.
The pie can be sliced many different ways. And sometimes people follow different platforms for different purposes.
Yep.
Maybe you follow I don't know, some stock picker person. I don't say any names.
Yeah.
To know, get like the latest stock tips.
Yeah. But you also follow like a Patrick Boyle or a Plain Bagel for a bit more nuance and
exactly.
It's okay to have all of these things on your plate.
Yeah, right? It's okay. But I think ultimately there is a lot of responsibility.
I agree.
With the audience member.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought of this like on the way to work this morning. Some people who like a certain type of like risky content, they will find our content boring. They will never be followers of our page. And that is fine. But what it also means that these people actively seek out biases or biases. No, some people say biases. Wow. Biases that they want to see.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, I want crypto to 10x.
Yeah.
When I bought this Bitcoin, I'm pretending to be a person.
Yeah.
So let's say the person say, oh, I bought Bitcoin. In my mind, I want Bitcoin to 10x. So I go follow an influencer or content creator who sells that narrative that I want to follow. I follow them. And then when Bitcoin actually crashes, they blame it on the influencer. So I feel like that also exists.
That's true.
That also exists.
That's also very unfair for the content creator.
Mm.
Because I mean, content creators put out so much content, like especially YouTube, right, where they put out things every day.
Yep.
If I had said often in the previous 30 videos that, look, do your own due diligence, this is just me making an idea, I'm making a bet. Should I have to say that every single video? Maybe yes, I don't know the answer, but it's very annoying to do that, you know?
Yep.
Because if you're doing this every day and you keep repeating, then like, won't it just be the case where your videos will just get longer and longer and longer?
I actually feel that, you know, because people sometimes accuse us like, you know, you're ignoring systemic.
If you want to argue systemic, can you systematically consume our content so you read everything?
Yeah. They'll argue like, oh, you know, systemic poverty exists.
Yeah.
Sure, and we have put out content.
We've said before.
To acknowledge systemic content.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, every single content that talks about like the choices you can make, they will come and say, oh, how about the systemic poverty?
Because they don't read
because they don't read the other side.
So this could be a thing about content creator, like a flaw or like, but I think it's media literacy, honestly, because I think it's easier for the audience, me being an audience myself, to be wary and to be careful, and to when I watch a video that is somebody, Graham Stephan, talking about the awesomeness of FTX, for example, that I know that I have not seen all his videos, so maybe he might have said something disclaimer about FTX before that I haven't seen, so I cannot just go based off of that.
Yeah.
That he is 100% for this.
Exactly.
So it's a media literacy thing, you know. I like what you said about how as an audience, right? Because there's so much content out there. There's content for everything. You can find almost every single type of nuance with takes on crypto.
Yeah.
Not just yes or no. Yeah. It's everything in between.
Even in Bitcoin, even in crypto, there's Bitcoin maxis. So they only believe in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Then Bitcoin ETH. Yeah, then they are like altcoin people, people who believe Bitcoin is stupid.
And there are also people within Bitcoin that argue about the subtleties of what Bitcoin is for. Some is in it for capital appreciation, some is in it for changing the world, you know, and the framework of how we look at money and things like that. The, embracing DeFi as a philosophy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So even among that, there's so many, so, and you can find what you want very easily.
Yeah.
But I think then, as part of media literacy, your responsibility, what would be good as a consumer, and we practice this ourselves, is to purposely go and find things that you disagree with and sit through the uncomfortableness of the first few seconds. Oh, I hate this. Oh, this take is so shit. It makes me so annoyed. Sit through it and listen to the whole thing and really, really, really try to suspend your dislike. Yeah. It's really hard. I struggle to do it. Yesterday, we were watching something and we're like, wow, allow this thing. But we have to sit and listen to the points.
Yeah, I was listening to some crypto roundtable. You know, I was thinking, wow, I fucking hate this guy's face. Must I fucking watch this for the next 30 minutes? Eh?
I must.
Okay, for me to understand your perspective, yeah. I'll watch it for the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it's so painful. Right? Some books I read, I'm like, oh, I love it, this thing. I know I'm in it for a rough bit because like, every sentence you read, that is not true. Like I can cite like studies that I read that that you must suspend and really try to get the point.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's maybe how you must consume media nowadays because there's too much really.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to find things that you want to find and your algorithm will do it for you too. Mm. Right? That's why I also... And I don't know if YouTube does this or not, but I like it because sometimes they'll show me things that I don't like.
Mm.
Like that, not just I don't like in terms of like the production, that... It's diametrically opposed to my
worldview.
Like, red pill content, for example. Like, I watched somebody argue a red pill person, and then I started getting red pill things, and I started watching, and it really annoys me. But also, the more I watch, the more maybe YouTube thinks I like it, so I get more and more of that.
When you say red pill, you're talking about content
and
you disagree
that kind
with.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
You know, the kind of like men is this and that, and then women are this and that, and I just disagree with that stuff. Right? But I will... painfully endure
I think you endure it so that you know what the people you dislike are thinking.
Yeah. There's that too, but also there might be a chance that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I wanna hedge myself. It's the same as hedging your investment by buying something that you're doubtful about or a bit of it.
Mm.
To protect your downside, you know, if the other thing goes up. I'm hedging my knowledge and my worldview because we have binocular vision, we can't see everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, so many blind spots, man.
It's like Warren Buffett has this quote like, diversification is only good if you do not know anything or something like that. But
what does that mean?
So, broad diversification is only good, it's only useful if you do not know anything. So that's the Warren Buffett quote. I think many people took it to say like, oh, you know, that's why we shouldn't diversify.
But most people don't know anything.
Yeah,
right?
So my thing is like, most people don't know anything.
Yeah. They actually they classify themselves wrongly just because they read a few books. They think, if I meet Warren Buffett, he will consider me as one of these who know.
Yeah, like, no!
But he might consider you as somebody who don't know anything.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So,
I see.
For myself, I consider myself a person who knows some things but I really don't know a lot of things. So I'm constantly trying to diversify and like find out like, oh, there's this way of thinking. Some people actually think this way. It is possible.
Yeah.
And try not to hang on to one single system of thought too much.
Mm.
And also be like, okay, so instead of saying like, oh, I believe this because blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
You can also say like, some people have also thought about this thing this way. What do you think?
Critics have said.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
Right.
And whenever you hold like a position, it's very important to also acknowledge the criticisms of that position.
Yeah, I think that's quite a good actually tip to have. Like, if you're not able to say the critic's POV, you might not actually understand this.
Yeah. So for example, we always talk about index funds quite a lot. You must recognize like the caveats that come with holding this worldview.
Yeah.
For example, not all index funds rise in the long term.
Yeah.
Right. Michael Burry or some people have said like
bubble.
People buy index funds creates like market distortion because people buy companies because they are an index fund, not based on the true value.
Right,
so there's also that argument. There's also the thing that, you know, maybe US might not continue to be a world power in 10, 20 years.
Mm.
So all these are hard things, right, that you have to acknowledge when you take on a certain worldview.
Mm.
And just because you do... Okay, and just because, let's say you invest in index funds, doesn't mean that you are immune to shit. It just means you are less immune to shit compared to less untested forms of asset class. And I feel like the crypto bros of last year, an exercise in looking on the weaknesses of crypto, might have helped them in limiting their losses.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. Because that having that sort of critics will say aspect in your head might help you to not go in so hard.
Yeah.
You pull back a bit, and then that would have helped them a lot in this current winter, right?
Yeah. Of course, as you mentioned just now, it's like a spectrum between risk-taking and being overly conservative, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a new untested asset class, crypto is definitely here.
Yeah.
And I think what's important is that you must take responsibility for the level of risk you have taken on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If I be overly conservative, only invest in bonds, CPF, then I accept that my returns will never be above, let's say 7%, because CPF 4% only.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Then if I go all the way here, if I invest in shitty coins, not shitty coins, like shit coins or altcoins, I must be prepared to lose everything.
Mm,
And ultimately, where you are on the spectrum, it's a decision that you make for yourself.
As a retail investor, that I choose what to buy.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Not a content creator didn't make it up for you.
Yeah.
Right. Content creator only say something.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the final decision lies with you.
Mm. But saying that, do you think that it was right for them to sort of promote FTX? Is that wrong? Is that right?
I do not think it is outrightly wrong. It's a decision like I frown upon, but I cannot say like it's wrong lah. So, for example, now people are shitting on them because FTX collapsed, right? Mm. And this is something that they could not have known. Obviously, whenever a client approaches us, I will go search, how long they've been around, whether or not they are making money as a client. I make a kind of like a guesstimate whether they will be around in 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
And I think that's why most of our clients tend to be big banks, governments, insurers with like a long track record of stuff.
Yeah, I think the reason why we can't outrightly say that they are shills and they're evil is that in another world, we might have been okay. Or even if they were our friends and they asked us, I'm about to take this thing, is it a good idea? We also won't have enough information to tell them that FTX would tank,
Yeah. And also, obviously, when you ask people, and you ask the sponsor, hey, how is the company doing?
They will say the best thing.
It's fucking glorious.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think, in a way also, we are sort of also lucky that we have had the opportunity to work with good sponsors that allow us to work with other rock-solid good sponsors. Because if our business was flailing, if we don't have the kind of business we have, assuming we're doing the same kind of content, and then something like FTX approaches us, it might be a very different perspective on how we look at it.
Yep.
We might be more incentivized in taking it on because there's no other thing that is able to sponsor us in this way that we need to keep the business afloat.
Mm.
But of course, the fact that our business works and we for now still have, I think also is built upon the values that we set for ourselves and we have enough float to reject clients.
Yep.
So I also think in another world, if we were making another content or maybe we are doing this on YouTube instead and the sponsorship opportunities are different, where it's less likely to have government sponsors or bank sponsors, we might look at this thing very differently and we would never have known that FTX was going to crash.
I think just the other day, an email came in and they said, we are this company.
Yeah.
We work with content creators like Andre J, Graham Steven. I mean, I was quite impressed by the email. This was before the whole saga.
Yeah.
Right. I can imagine being okay, other big names have covered it.
Yeah, because these are big names. They are big names in the
Then I go in also.
Yeah.
Right.
That the potential downside sometimes also is that we turn down new companies that turn out to be huge winners.
Yeah.
But we are okay with that. So like you say, talking about CPF and not taking part in the rise of some meteoric things that are a bit more risky, we understand that possible downside. That we turn down business from a potential sponsor who will go on to be really amazing.
Yeah.
But we are okay with
it. And
that.
then we could have we missed out on a straight cut of saying, I spotted them first.
Yeah. But we don't need that, and that's not the kind of thing that we would rather give it some hindsight and let you we miss out on some of that right of being associated with you early on.
Yeah.
To just be with you after you've proven yourself. We are okay with that. We don't need to be early adopters. We don't need that early adopter flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the downside that we'll take
on. Yeah. I think for us, we will try to wait until in Singapore, because we're in Singapore, right?
Yeah.
At least when you MAS say something.
MAS, yeah.
For our more conventional clients,
yeah.
We look at the industry, we look at like what kind of licensing they got from MAS before we commit.
Yeah.
But it's also worth saying, right? I think last year, many crypto exchanges got MAS in principle approval to operate.
Right.
I think many people also saw that as a green light to invest. Even Temasek invests in FTX.
I mean, Temasek is sort of the... Okay, what is Temasek? Just explain to people.
Temasek is a private investment company owned by Singapore. It's not a sovereign wealth fund. That is GIC, which is a government investment corporation.
Mm.
But people see Temasek as linked with... like very heavily the Singapore government.
So when
Temasek invested in FTX, people felt it was an endorsement of sorts. But I think that is not always a good way to... No, it shouldn't be your only barrier of looking at what to invest in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think many... Not many lah. Several Temasek investments have went bust. I think most famously High Flux,
yeah. Okay, so the thing with FTX is that Temasek was the second biggest investor in FTX. I think they went in to the tune of about $200 million. And then, of course, locally, some news outlets will cover and say, hey, Temasek was also part of this thing. And then people will say, oh, I lost $200 million. How can like that? But honestly, if you look at the amount of money that they made, say last year alone, which I looked at was about $22 billion, $200 million is not a very significant part of that amount of money. So it's also like you're talking about risk capacity. I thought that was a good point. You know? You can't just look at the number.
Mm. So in personal finance, we learned there are two kinds of things that affect how much risk you can take. Risk appetite. If the market falls, whether my mind can take it. Right, that's risk appetite.
Right.
Risk capacity, do I actually have the money to invest in a risky asset? So let's say you have $1,000 and then you want to invest in crypto. I will say you have the risk appetite, but you don't have the risk capacity. Does it make sense?
Risk appetite, I have it because I have the... I can take the volatility.
But you don't have the risk capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
So now... we zoom out. Temasek has huge risk capacity. Why? Because it has
a lot of money.
Billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at its crypto investment, it's actually a reflection or it has very low risk appetite.
Right, right. It's a small part of...
It's a tiny amount.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's how whenever you see a big fund investing in something,
yeah.
always consider their risk capacity versus your own risk capacity.
Even
Sequoia Capital or other big VCs, right? Just because they invest in something doesn't mean it's a sure winner.
Yeah.
These investment firms, they invest in a whole fuck ton of things all the time.
Yeah.
And the expectation is that a lot of these things will die and one star will make it. So in this scenario, it's just show that, maybe FTX was something that didn't make it. Another thing is worth saying is that I think in the past 2 years, actually FTX was doing pretty good financially. Actually, I think Sequoia actually came out and said that they actually had very good revenue, good growth. It's just that the business model and the inherent weaknesses of crypto brokerage means that a bank run can occur at any time.
I mean, they lied also. They said that they will not be using client assets. But then they put in Alameda and all this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you think about that. Well, even a financial institution like Temasek and Sequoia seemingly did not detect that there was these shenanigans going on, you know.
So I think it's really hard to detect.
Yeah.
Really, really hard to detect.
Yeah.
And that's why being conventional sometimes...
will save your ass.
Will save your ass.
Yeah. Because you'll be... If you do conventional things and you still tank means that everybody else either tank as bad as you or tank worse than you. Also,
yeah. Right? And then in the relative things, in relative scheme of things, he will be richer.
Why then?
Because some people zero. Let's say I have $5, you have $0.
Yeah.
I'm richer than you.
Right. Relatively. Yeah. So you are wealthy.
Yes. Yeah. Anything else to add? Oh, you want to do a disclaimer so people don't think we're ending our...
Yeah, so we've been ending our thing with a joke that we say this is going to be our last one. And it's not... I was hoping that it would be like after 5 years, we're still doing it. And then newcomers to our channel will go, hey, what the fuck is ending? Then somebody will go, no, it's a joke. They've been saying it for 5 years. Never ended. Mm-hmm. But I also realized some people, they stop me and say, hey, why you end the thing? So I think I'm not clear enough. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have a new way of ending it. But for now, I think... I would just like to declare that it's a joke.
Yep.
This is not, or at least we don't intend for this to be our last podcast or any of our previous things to be our last podcast. And I thought it's quite funny if we end it like that, but it's kind of exploded in my face.
I mean, like, life is unpredictable, you know. Sometimes...
It could be our last podcast.
A bus might hit you, right?
Yeah, sure.
Recently, a bus hit someone. The person died.
Uh-huh.
Human body has no chance against a 4-ton machine.
Moving at 50 kilometers
an hour. Yeah, so, you know... Indeed, you know, this might be our last podcast if the previous mentioned incidents happen to us.
So unpleasant. It's not about bus crash and all that.
You want to end it?
Yeah. So thanks very much for watching. This is probably not going to be our last one. But like he said, who knows what might happen. No, we don't know everything. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Yep. Yeah. Watch out for the buses.
Yes, watch out for buses. Or buy insurance.
Yes.
And buy insurance, yeah.